Thank you, choir. Not only a wonderful hymn, it's a wonderful prayer. Well, the title is, as it says in the bulletin, Listen to Him. Let's pray first that we might listen better to God. Gracious God, we know that you're listening, we count on that, but we get so wrapped up in all that is going on around us and within us that we forget to listen to you, and all we can think of is how you have to listen to us. Help us this morning to remember the words of Scripture. And as we reflect together in this sermon, help us to hear you speaking to us in ways that enliven our souls, guide our feet, and open our imagination to what you want to do with us. Amen. One of the most important lessons that I learned as a young scientist was from a man who spoke very, very softly. He was our senior department manager, three levels above me in the organization at Polaroid. His name was Jerry McLeod, and he was not inclined to raise his voice. He never made the point that he was in charge, except in that one way, by speaking very softly. The bottom line was that if we wanted to hear what he had to say, and he was the boss after all, we had better listen. Soft voices don't work well in church, do they? No, and we know why, don't we? There are too many of us, and I say us deliberately, including me, who have trouble hearing soft voices. Yet I've discovered that God does not usually speak in a loud voice. In fact, when I've heard God the most clearly is when I've been willing to be quiet and let God say whatever it is that God wants me to hear. Does that sound a little counterintuitive? Well, let me try to clarify what I mean. Most of us think in terms of hearing what is said, but we're not so used to the concept of listening. There's a difference. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. Hearing happens when our ear captures a sound and sends it off to the brain to be interpreted. Listening happens when we deliberately tune in to a sound. Sometimes listening produces an awareness so profound that it touches our souls and we actually recognize that God is speaking to us. In today's gospel, we discover that Peter, James, and John recognized that God was literally speaking to them through what happened on that mountain. In their presence, Jesus' appearance changed so radically that his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And then they watched and listened as Jesus spoke with Moses, the lawgiver, and with Elijah, the prophet. What did all that mean? Well, I suspect that Peter was struggling with that very question when he blurted out to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It had to have been an overwhelming experience for these three humble men. Mark recorded that, quote, a cloud overshadowed them, And from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." In the Old Testament, clouds were one way in which God's presence was signified. Fire, smoke, and wind were others. Clearly, Mark meant for us to realize that these three men knew that they were in God's presence. Nor was that the first or the last time that someone reported seeing or hearing Jesus or an angel or Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, making such a claim, depending on where they were and during what period of history they made it, would have gotten a person saying that ignored, burned at the stake, excommunicated from the church, or maybe locked in a mental health facility. Yet the voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Suppose, just suppose, some of us in the church did listen for God's voice. Suppose that we heard or saw an angel, Mary, or Jesus. What might happen? Well, I suspect it would depend on who we told. In the best of all situations, our pastors and other Christians would want to know all about the message. Maybe some people would get inspired to listen themselves. In the worst case scenario, however, we might be shunned by our friends because we were an embarrassment. And even our church family might wonder. We might be referred to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. We would then hear questions such as, and I say this from having been consulted by psychiatrists, "How do you know it's God speaking to you? What does the voice tell you to do?" And if they're particularly astute, our inquisitors might ask us, "Is there anyone else in your family who hears God speaking to them?" The world, and sadly even the church, doesn't like being reminded that God speaks to us. Years ago, during the days of the TV comedy show Laugh-In, Lily Tomlin had a great line. She used to say, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we call it prayer, and when God speaks to us, we call it schizophrenia?" I used to tell that joke to psychiatry residents. None of them laughed. Well, I was a therapist long enough to understand that schizophrenia is a serious problem, and it can certainly complicate a person's experience of God. However, I've been a Christian much longer, and I believe that any of us could, if it was God's will, experience the voice of God. Now, to say that's not possible is to place limits on God's power, and I would do that very, very reluctantly. Someone who reports hearing God's voice or seeing a vision of Jesus is to be taken utterly seriously, unless the person is a danger to him or herself or someone else. It would be wise to recommend a spiritual director, or if one of those isn't available, then a qualified pastoral counselor, so they have a safe place to explore the meaning of what they have seen or heard. We need to cultivate, not suppress, our willingness to listen for what God is saying to all of us. Oh, and I should add, the voice of God isn't always one that we hear with our ears. We may perceive it in some other way with our spirit as we interpret what is happening to us or around us. You know, the reluctance to listen for what God is saying or to believe that God actually speaks is so strong that when I was in seminary, I was taught that this whole transfiguration story, even though it's told in three gospels, was, quote, a misplaced resurrection story. How do you misplace a resurrection story? Well, the scholars meant that it was so unbelievable to them that they decided that it just had to be about Jesus appearing after his resurrection. If the transfiguration can be explained away that easily, well, you know, then we don't have to worry about God speaking to us, or worse yet, making some demand on us. In one sense, it's rather amusing that we have such difficulty believing that God speaks directly to human beings. I say that because many of us hope that in the next life we will actually be in God's presence. It just seems like that's what heaven is about. On the other hand, if we hope to experience God in heaven, why do we assume that we can't experience God here? C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite Christian writers, wrote a response to those of us who doubt that God can speak to us. He reminded us that, quote, we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. And the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember to attend, to pay attention. In fact, to come awake, still more to remain awake. Lewis continues by personalizing the experience. He writes, oddly enough, what corroborates me in this faith is the fact that the awareness of this presence, God, has so often been unwelcome. I call upon him in prayer. Often he might reply. I think he does reply, like this. But you have been evading me for hours. End of quote. In another book of spiritual readings, I found a brief paragraph that raises this possibility with unusual wisdom. The author wrote, there is so much to be said in the Christian life, but it is God who is to do the speaking. Pray for silence, both in mind and spirit, so that you may hear his voice. If he spoke to you in a whisper, would you be quiet enough to hear him? Yes. I know that most of us are busy. I do. I get it. I know that some of us are so busy that it's hard to find quiet time enough to listen to God. And yes, I confess that I have in the past often allowed my busyness, even when I was active in pastoral ministry, to keep me from being silent long enough to listen for God's message. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can, at night when we are falling asleep, ask God to help us listen to God through our dreams. If one wakes us up, we can have a pad of paper and a pen next to the bed to record what it's about so that we can ponder and pray about its meaning in the morning. During the day, we can give ourselves even brief opportunities to hear God by reading the Bible, praying, or listening to Christian or other inspired music, and then stopping what we're doing and listening for God's voice. If we hear it, we can record it in our journal. We can even record questions that we would like God to answer. So to repeat the ending of that brief meditation that I just quoted, if God spoke to us in a whisper, would we be quiet enough to hear God? The answer to that question may be a measure of the depth of our spiritual lives. If we're not quiet enough to hear God, we may need to find ways to quiet our inner selves. Even if that means asking someone to watch our children or whoever else we may be caring for, we need some time every day to listen to God. If we don't make listening to God the most important experience of the day, then who or what are we surrendering first place to in the competition for our minds and hearts? So one more time. If God spoke to us in a whisper, how many of us would be quiet enough to hear God? Let us pray. Oh God, we want to listen. We believe that we try to listen. We need your grace to open our hearts so that there is room for what we hear from you. We pray that we allow nothing to interfere with hearing your voice here in worship or in the quiet of our own souls elsewhere. Amen.